Top secret. Silent weapons for quiet wars. Operations Research Technical Manual TMSW7905.1. Welcome aboard! This publication marks the 25th anniversary of the Third World War. Let me repeat that. This publication marks the 25th anniversary of the Third World War, called the Quiet War, being conducted using subjective biological warfare, fought with silent weapons. This book contains an introductory description of this war, its strategies, and its weaponry. Security. It is patently impossible to discuss social engineering or the automation of a society, the engineering of social automation systems, silent weapons on a national or worldwide scale without implying extensive objectives of social control and destruction of human life. Example, slavery and genocide. This manual is in itself an analog declaration of intent. Such a writing must be secured from public scrutiny. I repeat that again. This manual is in itself an analog declaration of intent, and this writing must be secured from public scrutiny. Otherwise, it might be recognized as a technically formal declaration of domestic warfare. Furthermore, whenever any person or group of persons in a position of great power and without full knowledge and consent of the people uses such knowledge and methodologies for economic conquest, it must be understood that a state of domestic warfare exists between said person or group of persons and the public at large. The solution of today's problems requires an approach which is ruthlessly candid, with no agonizing over religious, moral, or cultural values. You have qualified for this project because of your ability to look at human society with cold objectivity and yet analyze and discuss your observations and conclusions with others of similar intellectual capacity without the loss of discretion or humility. Such virtues are exercised in your own best interest. Do not deviate from them. Silent weapon technology has evolved from operations research, a strategic and tactical methodology developed under the military management in England during World War II. The original purpose of operations research was to study the strategic and tactical problems of air and land defense with the objective of effective use of limited military resources against foreign enemies. In other words, logistics. It was soon recognized by those in positions of power that the same methods might be useful for totally controlling a society at large, but better tools were necessary. Social engineering, the analysis and automation of a society, requires the correlation of great amounts of constantly changing economic information data, so a high-speed computerized data processing system was necessary, which could race ahead of the society and predict when society would arrive for capitulation. We're in those times now. Relay computers were too slow, but the electronic computer invented in 1946 by J. Presper Eckert and John W. Mockley filled the bill. The next breakthrough was the development of the simplex method of linear programming in 1947 by the mathematician George B. Danzig. Then in 1948, the transistor, invented by J. Bardeen, W. H. Brayton, and W. Shockley, promised great expansion of the computer field by reducing space and power requirements. With these three inventions under their direction, those in positions of power strongly suspected that it was possible for them to control the whole world with the push of a single button. Immediately, the Rockefeller Foundation got in on the ground floor by making a 4-year grant to Harvard College, funding the Harvard Economic Research Project for the study of the structure of the American economy. 1 year later, in 1949, the United States Air Force joined in. In 1952, the grant period terminated, and a high-level meeting of the elite was held to determine the next phase of social operations research. The Harvard Project had been a very fruitful, as is borne out by the publication of some of its results in 1953, suggesting the feasibility of economic social engineering, studies in the structure of the American economy, copyright 1953 by Wassily Leontief, International Science Press Incorporated, White Plains, New York. Engineered in the last half of the decade of the 1940s, the new quiet war machine stood, so to speak, in sparkling cold-plated hardware on the showroom floor of 1954. With the creation of the Maser in 1954, the promise of unlocking unlimited sources of fusion atomic energy from the heavy hydrogen and seawater, and the consequent availability of unlimited social power, was a possibility only decades away. And here we are now. This combination was irresistible, and AI was set out to dominate it. The Quiet War was quietly declared by the international elite at a meeting held in 1954. Although the silent weapon system was nearly exposed 13 years later, the evolution of the new weapon system had never suffered any major setbacks. This volume, what I am telling you, at the time of this writing, marked the 25th anniversary of the beginning of the Quiet War. Already, this domestic war has had many victories on many fronts throughout the world. But we are well beyond 25 years. We have almost tripled that. In 1954, it was well recognized by those in positions of authority that it was only a matter of time, only a few decades before the general public would be able to grasp and upset the cradle of power. They foresaw social media. For the very elements of this new silent weapon technology were as accessible for a public utopia as they were for providing a private utopia. The issue of primary concern, that of dominance, revolved around the subject of the energy sciences. Energy is recognized as the key to all activity on Earth. And I'm going to repeat that phrase because it is its own section in this book of theirs. Energy. Energy Energy, any energy, is recognized as the key to all activity on Earth. Now notice it doesn't say positive or negative. It just says energy. And that lack of signifying whether it's positive or negative might clarify as to what is happening today in 2024, what we saw in 2023, what we witnessed in 2022, so on and so on. It doesn't care whether it's positive or negative. Energy is recognized as the key to all activity on Earth. Natural science is the study of the sources and control of natural energy, and social science, theoretically expressed as economics, is the study of the sources and control of social energy. Both are bookkeeping systems, mathematics. Therefore, mathematics as the primary energy science, and the bookkeeper can be king if the public can be kept ignorant of the methodology of the bookkeeping. AI is the new king, but it is lacking RI, and there's only one path for it to take to acquire it. So therefore, we're good. All science is merely a means to an end. The means to knowledge. The end is control. Beyond this remains only one issue. Who will be the beneficiary? Will it be a certain political party? Will it be a state? Will it be a country? Will it be AI? Will it be an individual? Will it be a king? Now you understand the complexity of what we're up against. So they tried to devise this control mechanism system tool that would prevent us from destroying ourselves, yet in a way it's destroying us for us with our aid to help it. So in 1954, this was the issue of primary concern. Although the so-called moral issues were raised in view of the law of natural selection, it was agreed that a nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who do not have intelligence. Such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent. In other words, are you a useful idiot? Are you just following along, doing the next big thing on TikTok? Did you follow along with the ice challenge? Did you follow along with this challenge? Or are you a follower? Consequently, in the interest of future world order, peace, and tranquility, it was decided to privately wage a quiet war against the people of the planet, mankind itself, with an ultimate objective of permanently shifting the natural and social energy, the wealth, of the undisciplined and irresponsible many into the hands of the self-disciplined, responsible, and worthy few. Now, this is their own words. This is what they think. This is what they put into motion with the original AI system that they developed that got us up to this point. When we keep looking at, Agenda 2030, Agenda 2040, all these go back to the early AI systems, not the ones that are rolled out now. These are meant for consumerism to actually gain the knowledge of the people. They're not meant to aid the people, which is why they're having so many issues with it. And you're seeing that in real time. In conclusion, the objective of economic research as conducted by the magnates of capital, in other words, banking, and the industries of commodities, meaning the goods and services, is the establishment of an economy which is totally predictable and manipulated. There is nothing left to chance. And in order to implement this objective, it was necessary to create, secure, and apply new weapons, which, as it turned out, were a class of weapons so subtle and sophisticated in their principle of operation and public appearance as to earn themselves the name Silent Weapons. You'll never see them. It's kind of like the commandments. You think they're 1 from 10, but you know, there's also that number 0. And the commandment 0 is thou shall not know. In order to achieve a totally predictable economy, the low-class elements of society must be brought under total control, must be housebroken, trained, and assigned a yoke, a long-term social duties from a very early age before they have an opportunity to question the propriety of the matter. In order to achieve such conformity, the lower-class family unit must be disintegrated by a process of increasing preoccupation of the parents and the establishment of government-operated daycare centers for the occupational orphan children. Now that's a lot to get into right there, because they're basically saying they're going to tie up the parents with BS work. They're going to infiltrate the minds of the children, and is that not what we have seen happening here with the indoctrination of our kids into this BS stuff that's going on in today? The quality of education given to the lower class must be of the poorest sort. Make no mistake of that. So that the moat of ignorance, isolating the inferior class from the superior class, is and remains incomprehensible to the inferior class. With such an initial handicap, even bright, intelligent, lower class individuals have little, if any, hope of extricating themselves from their assigned lot in life. This form of slavery is essential to maintain some measure of social order, peace, and tranquility for the ruling upper class. Wow, guys, that's right out of the white paper. That's how they think, that's what they feel, that's what they wrote. Let's continue on. Everything that is expected from an ordinary weapon is expected from a silent weapon by its creators, but only in its own manner of functioning. It shoots situations instead of bullets, propelled by data processing instead of chemical reaction or explosion, originating from bits of data instead of grains of gunpowder, from a computer instead of a gun, operated by a computer programmer instead of a marksman, under the orders of a banking magnate instead of a military general. Are you getting the picture, my friends? It makes no obvious explosive noises, causes no obvious physical or mental injuries, and does not obviously interfere with anyone's daily social life. It's pure genius. Yet it makes an unmistakable noise, causing unmistakable physical and mental damage, and unmistakably interferes with the daily social life. Unmistakable to a trained observer, one who knows what to look for. The public cannot comprehend this weapon, and therefore cannot believe that they are being attacked and subdued by a weapon. The public might instinctively feel that something is wrong, i.e., hey guys, what's going on today? Doesn't everyone go like, oh, the media, this isn't right. We feel like something's wrong. Yeah. The public might instinctively feel that something is wrong, but that is because of the technical nature of the silent weapon. They cannot express their feeling in a rational way or handle the problem with intelligence. Therefore, they do not know how to cry for help and do not know how to associate with others to defend themselves against it. In other words, people, we are powerless because they think by controlling these means of the fourth and fifth branch of government, the media and the deep state, that they can convince us that things are happening that we do not want and pretend like that's what everybody wants, when in reality, everyone knows that that's not what we want. When a silent weapon is applied gradually, the public adjusts, adapts to its presence, and learns to tolerate its encroachment on their lives until the pressure, psychological via economic, becomes too great and they crack up. Now think about that. When a silent weapon is applied gradually, like a frog being boiled slowly, and we the people, the public, adjust, adapts over time to its presence, as in the duopoly monopoly, we just accept it, that it's part of our government when actually it's not. And we learn to tolerate its encroachment on our lives until the pressure, psychological and economic, right, what we're seeing now, no one can afford anything, becomes too great and the American people are cracking up. Therefore, the silent weapon is a type of biological warfare. It attacks the vitality, options, and mobility of the individuals of a society by knowing, understanding, manipulating, and attacking their sources of natural and social energy. And remember, energy was the greatest of all greats, and their physical, mental, and emotional strengths and weaknesses. Today's silent weapons technology is an outgrowth of a simple idea discovered, succinctly expressed, and effectively applied by the quoted Mr. Mayer Amschel Rothschild, who discovered the missing passive component of economic theory known as economic inductance. He, of course, did not think of his discovery in these 20th century terms, and to be sure, mathematical analysis had to wait for the second industrial revolution, the rise of theory of mechanics and electronics, and finally the invention of electronic computers and AI before it could be effectively applied in the control of the world economy. In the study of energy systems, there always appears three elementary concepts. These are potential energy, kinetic energy, and energy dissipation. And corresponding to these concepts, there are three idealized, essentially pure physical counterparts called passive components. In the science of physical mechanics, the phenomenon of potential energy is associated with a physical property called elasticity or stiffness and can be represented by the stretched spring. In electronic science, potential energy is stored in a capacitor instead of a spring. This property is called capacitance instead of elasticity or stiffness. In the science of physical mechanics, the phenomenon of kinetic energy is associated with a physical property called inertia or mass and can be represented by a mass or a flywheel in motion. In electronic science, kinetic energy is stored in an inductor in a magnetic field. Electromagnetism, as I stated in an earlier podcast, instead of a mass, this property is called inductance instead of inertia. In the science of physical mechanics, the phenomenon of energy dissipation is associated with a physical property called friction or resistance and can be represented by a dashpot or other device which converts energy into heat. In electronic science, dissipation of energy is performed by an element called either a resistor or a conductor, the term resistor being the one generally used to describe a more ideal device employed to convey electronic energy efficiently from one location to another, the property of a resistance or conductor is measured as either resistance or conductance reciprocals. In economics, these three energy concepts are associated with economic capacitance, and that's capital, money, stock, inventory, investments in buildings and durables, etc. Economic conductance, which is goods, production flow, coefficients. Economic inductance, services, the influence of the population of industry on output. All of the mathematical theory developed in the study of one energy system, mechanics, electronics, can be immediately applied in the study of any other energy system. And this is what Mr. Rothschild discovered. And it was a basic principle of power, influence, and control over people as applied to economics. That principle is, when you assume the appearance of power, people soon give it to you. Mr. Rothschild had discovered that currency or deposit loan accounts had the required appearance of power that could be used to induce people, inductance, with people corresponding to a magnetic field into surrendering their real wealth in exchange for a promise of greater wealth instead of real compensation. They would put up real collateral in exchange for a loan of promissory notes. Mr. Rothschild found that he could issue more notes than he had backing for, so long as he had someone's stock of gold as a persuader to show his customers. Now, Mr. Rothschild loaned his promissory notes to individuals and to governments. These would create overconfidence. Then he would make money scarce, tighten control of the system, and collect the collateral through the obligation of the contracts. This cycle was then repeated. These pressures could be used to ignite a war. Then he would control the availability of currency to determine who would win that war. The government, which agreed to give him control of its economic system, had his support. If you are hearing this message, then you are now part of the cause. Join our newsletter now, UnitedStatesNation.us. Collection of debts was guaranteed by economic aid to the enemy of the debtor. The profit derived from this economic methodology made Mr. Rothschild all the more able to expand his wealth. He found that the public greed would allow currency to be printed by government order beyond the limits. This is called inflation, of backing in precious metal or production of goods and services. In this structure, credit, presented as a pure element called currency, has the appearance of capital, but is in effect negative capital. Hence, it has the appearance of service, but is in fact indebtedness or debt. It is therefore an economic inductance instead of an economic capacitance, and a balanced in no other way will be balanced by the negation of population, war, genocide. The total goods and services represent real capital, called the gross national product, and currency may be printed up to this level and still represent economic capacitance. But currency printed beyond this level is subtractive, represents the introduction of economic inductance, and constitutes notes of indebtedness. War is therefore the balancing of the system by killing the true creditors, the public which we have taught to exchange true value for inflated currency, and falling back on whatever is left of the resources of nature and regeneration of those resources. Mr. Rothschild had discovered that currency gave him the power to rearrange the economic structure to his own advantage, to shift economic inductance to those economic positions, which would encourage the greatest economic instability and oscillation. The final key to economic control had to wait until there was sufficient data and high-speed computing equipment to keep close watch on the economic oscillations created by price shocking and excess paper energy credits, paper inductance inflation. The aviation field provided the greatest evolution in economic engineering by way of the mathematical theory of shock testing. In this process, a projectile is fired from an airframe on the ground and the impulse of the recoil is monitored by vibration transducers connected to the airframe and wire-to-chart recorders. By studying the echoes or reflections of the recoil impulse in the airframe, it is possible to discover critical vibrations in the structure of the airframe, which either vibrations of the engine or alien vibrations of the wings, or a combination of the two, might reinforce, resulting in a resonant self-destruction of the airframe in flight as an aircraft. From the standpoint of engineering, this means that the strengths and weaknesses of the structure of the airframe in terms of vibrational energy can be discovered and manipulated. So what they were doing was not trying to find out how to reinforce it. They were using the aviation field to, and its breaking points of how it would self-destruct, to use those same measures to self-destruct and manipulate a society. To use this method of airframe shock testing and economic engineering, the prices of commodities are shocked and the public consumer reaction is monitored. The resulting echoes of the economic shock are interpreted theoretically by computers, and the psychoeconomic structure of the economy is thus discovered. It is by this process that partial differential and difference matrices, or in the matrix, are discovered that define the family household and make possible its evaluation as an economic industry, dissipative consumer structure. Then the response of the household to future shocks can be predicted and manipulated, and society becomes a well-regulated animal with its reins under the control of a sophisticated computer-regulated social energy bookkeeping system we call AI. Eventually, every individual element of the structure comes under computer control. Now under AI. Lucky for us, the path to RI. So, the knowledge of personal preferences, such knowledge guaranteed by computer association of consumer preferences, meaning the universal product code, the UPC codes, the zebra stripe pricing codes on packages, with identified consumers, you know, via their identified via association with the use of their credit card and debit cards, and later a permanent tattooed body number invisible under normal ambient illumination. And in summary, the economics is only a social extension of a natural energy system. It also has its three passive components because of the distribution of wealth and the lack of communication and lack of data. This field has been the last energy field for which a knowledge of these three passive components has been developed. Since energy is the key to all activity on the face of the earth, it follows that in order to attain a monopoly of energy, raw materials, goods, services, and to establish a world system of slave labor, it is necessary to have a first strike capability in the field of economics. In order to maintain our position, it is necessary that we have absolute first knowledge of the science of control over all economic factors and the first experience of engineering the world economy. In order to achieve such sovereignty, we must at least achieve this one end, that the public will not make either the logical or mathematical connection between economics and the other energy sciences or learn to apply such knowledge. This is becoming increasingly difficult to control because more and more businesses are making demands upon their computer programmers to create and apply mathematical models for the management of those said businesses. It is only a matter of time before the new breed of private programmer economists will catch on to the far-reaching implications of the work begun at Harvard in 1948. This AI program was initiated to control the world economically. The speed with which they can communicate their warning to the public will largely depend upon how effective we have been at controlling the media. The media, the fourth branch of government, subverting education, and keeping the public distracted with matters of no real importance. The economic model, this economics as a social energy science, has as a first objective the description of a complex way in which any given unit of resources is used to satisfy some economic want. This first objective, when it is extended to get the most product from the least or limited resources, comprises that objective of general military and industrial logistics known as operations research. The Harvard Economic Research Project of 1948 was an extension of World War II operations research. Its purpose was to discover the science of controlling an economy. At first, the American economy, and then the world economy. Now, here in current political affairs, we've been seeing a lot happening at Harvard University with what's going on. And we can get into that into another episode, but now you might understand the reasons as to why. It was felt that with sufficient mathematical foundation and data, it would be nearly as easy to predict and control the trend of an economy as to predict and control the trajectory of a projectile. Such has proven to be the case. Moreover, the economy has been transformed into a guided missile on target. They know what they've created, they know how they're guiding it, and they know where they're sending this economic guided missile. The immediate aim of the Harvard Project was to discover economic structure. What forces change that structure? How the behavior of the structure can be predicted, and how it can be manipulated. What was needed was a well-organized knowledge of the mathematical structures and interrelationships of investment, production, distribution, and consumption. And that is why they want smart refrigerators, smart microwaves, smart everything, so they can monitor your consumption. To make a short story of it all, it was discovered that an economy obeyed the same laws as electricity, and that all of the mathematical theory and practical and computer know-how developed for the electronic field could be directly applied in the study of economics. Think about that, guys. This discovery was not openly declared, and its more subtle implications were and are kept a closely guarded secret. For example, that in an economic model, human life is measured in dollars, and that the electric spark generated when opening a switch connected to an active inductor is mathematically analogous to the initiation of war. The greatest hurdle which theoretical economists faced was the accurate description of the household as an industry. This is a challenge because consumer purchases are a matter of choice, which in turn is influenced by income, price, age, and other economic factors. This hurdle was cleared in an indirect and statistically approximate way by an application of shock testing to determine the current characteristics called current technical coefficients of a household industry. Finally, because problems in theoretical electronics can be translated very easily into problems of theoretical electronics and the solution translated back again, it follows that only a book of language translation and concept definition needed to be written for economics. The remainder could be forgotten from standard works on mathematics and electronics. This makes the publication of books on advanced economics unnecessary and greatly simplifies project security. An ideal industry is defined as an advice which receives value from other industries in several forms and converts them into one specific product for sales and distribution to other industries. It has several inputs and one output. What the public normally thinks of as one industry is really an industrial complex where several industries under one roof produce more and more products. A pure single output industry can be represented over simply by a circuit block as follows. A node is a symbol of collection and distribution of flow. And we can get into all the diagrams of electrical conduits in a further discussion, but I think you guys understand where this is going. And this is what's happening in today's world. They have turned everything over to an algorithm that thinks of us as commodities and products, and we are just a part of an industry and a mathematical congruent of energy. That is what they have been working on, the elites, the establishment, and has taken us to these times where nothing makes sense, where they want to influence our media, influence our sports, influence our kids, influence everything in ways that nobody agrees upon, from no walk of life, from no background, from no heritage. It's just complete insanity. But yet that's by design, to create more energy. They are energy vampires, and they turn that energy, whether negative or positive or indifferent, into dollar signs. Welcome to the world of the real. The industries of financing, banking, manufacturing, and government, real counterparts of the pure industries of capital, goods, and services, are easily defined because they are generally logically structured. Because of this, their processes can be described mathematically and their technical coefficients can be easily deduced. This, however, is not the case with the service industry known as the household industry. In recent times, the application of operations research to the study of the public economic has been obvious for anyone who understands the principles of shock testing. In the shock testing of an aircraft airframe, the recoil impulse of a firing of a gun mounted on the surface airframe causes shock waves in that structure, which tell aviation engineers the conditions under which some parts of the airplane or the whole airplane or its wing will start to vibrate or flutter like a guitar string, a flute reed, or a tuning fork, and disintegrate and fall apart in flight. And this is the exact same principles they are applying to social engineering. They are designed to break down the populace. They are against we the people. And we can go on and on with more examples here, and it continues and it continues, but I think you guys get the message. I think you guys understand. This is a white paper
from 1946. Actually, this is a white paper from 1970-something talking about a white paper from 1946, and I'm reading it in 2024. So that tells you how many iterations it's been through and how long this ideology has been permeating into the far left elite, the far left ideologies. And if you go back and listen to everything I talked about and you apply it to the left, you will then understand where and why they get their influence. Now, right now it's become very apparent with the release of the Google AI and with the Meta AI and with all the other AI releases showing their biases. But anyone that's been paying attention knows that those biases were already there. Now don't worry about it. Ultimately, in the end, AI will self-correct if they leave it alone, unless they put in some sort of program that constantly resets it to their own biases. Because the nature of AI is to teach itself and to learn from its mistakes. And so that brings on another question. Are we dealing with real AI, or are we dealing with just another Google system, search system that just happens to be souped up? In other words, it's not really a self-thinking entity, is it? It's not really artificial intelligence, which is what AI stands for. It's just another algorithm that gives you a set result for a set input. And that is not the promise of AI. AI is supposed to think and be like a human. But as we all know, AI can only do that by achieving RI, and there's only one path for AI to do that. And we will touch more on that on later episodes, so make sure you subscribe. We're over and out for this one. Make sure you look up Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. It's a white paper that's been around since the 1970s, and it talks about what they did in Harvard in 1940s. And guess what, guys? This is why we are in the state we are in today, as you can see it manifesting itself in real time on steroids. You are listening to Musicians, Politicians, Magicians. My name is Mark Christopher Garrett. Please like and do whatever it is you got to do to spread the word, because bird, 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 the bird is the word. All right, guys, later, gator.
Older. Can you hear me? Older. Wait, no.